been no collusion between Harry or Trevor or Anne or myself, but every single moment so far has been covered in this, so I'm... Because they've said everything I'm going to say in the songs and that, and it's just made me chuckle, but isn't God great? I'm serious.
Yeah. No, sorry, Joe, you can't go and sit down. We'd be so disappointed if you didn't unpack that amazing scripture for us, so no pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure. Father God, we thank you for Joe and your call on his life and his love for you and his love for your people, and we thank you for the preparation he's done, Lord, on this scripture, and we pray, Lord, we would have hearts and minds open to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Shall we get started? Oh, I won't. Sure, good. Someone said yes. From the start of our reading this morning, Paul is explaining to the believers in Rome how he is desperately praying for the Israelites to be saved. Because despite them being passionately fanatical for God, they've missed the point. Their sincerity, their zealousness, hasn't led them to any form of salvation. Paul is crying out that the Israelites are so busy in trying to maintain the law that they've missed out knowing Jesus Christ. Or to put it another way, they were busy doing performance-based salvation. Performance-based salvation. The belief that if they kept the laws, if they performed, they would be saved. You could say they were ultra-religious, but still they were not saved. And that's point number one for this morning. You can be religious, but not have a faith. For example, you might like all the symbolism of burning incense. You might like the words of a particular form of liturgy. Indeed, you might like a particular style of worship song. That's being religious. And unlike the jailers, say, from Acts, who Paul says to, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe. That's faith. Interesting question then to ask ourselves. Am I like that? Am I religious driven or faith driven? Second point, you can be so good. You could be the goodest person alive, but that still won't be enough for you to be saved. This is the other form of performance-based salvation. But the covenant in the Old Testament, isn't that what's being asked of the Israelites? You know, with the Ten Commandments. Be good. Be the goodest. Why would God ask them to achieve something that is unachievable? If they can never reach the ideals of the law, what's the point? Well, what was being said was that the only way to find salvation this way is to keep all of the laws, all of the time, every second of every day of your life. Galatians says it like this: for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. That's pretty strong stuff, that. If you don't do everything written all of the time, you are cursed. The only way to salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ, in his life, death, and resurrection. That same passage from Galatians also says, so those who rely on faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Jesus is the only way to salvation, by faith alone. But I'm sure you knew that already. Good, thank you. At least one person did. Our Roman passage continues by saying Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Believes. Faith again. And now to quote that Galatians passage one more time, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. That's vivid imagery there. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. You see, the laws given to Moses by God on Mount Sinai have been accomplished, have reached a righteousness in Christ. And since Christ is the goal and culmination of the law, this righteousness belongs to all who trust and believe in Christ. So have faith. Look, all people have and will violate the law. Therefore, they're unable to be righteous. But Jesus has dealt with this shortcoming by coming down to earth, dying on the cross and being raised from the depths of the earth. And Paul rams home this point in verses 6 and 7 of our reading this morning. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Because God has already sent Christ into the world. And as our reading continues, who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Guess what? God has raised Christ from the dead. There is no need for these superhuman efforts on our behalf. Merely having a faith in this good news, our good news, is all that matters. All that matters. But what about the laws? Do we just forget them? No. We're not to ignore the laws. We should try our best to live by these laws to enable us to become fully human, to be more like Christ. We should desire to live by these laws to glimpse the kingdom of God. We should desire to live by these laws because we are saved, actually. Because we are saved. Or to put it another way, salvation-based performance. We try and perform because we are saved, not performance-based salvation, which is mentioned earlier, the let us perform to be saved. That is what Paul is getting at. We try and perform because we are saved. And incidentally, this is what separates us from all other religions and belief systems. Only faith can save us, not through good deeds. So how do we know? How do we know we are saved? How does anyone know? Verses 9 and 10 from our reading. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. With our hearts and with our mouths. Not only is this declaration evidence to others of our personal faith, it's an affirmation for ourselves that we have a faith. If we're declaring that Jesus was raised from the dead, we are announcing we also believe both the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are necessary for the forgiveness of sins, our sins. When God raised Christ from the dead, it showed that he accepted Christ's suffering and death as full payment for this sin. At the cross, God directed his wrath against Christ. But now in the resurrection, God showed his favor to Christ and to all who believe in him. This can be true because all who believe in Christ are bonded with him. With this kind of heart, one believes. This saving faith is a deep trust in Christ. And this has led me to reflect on another question. Is it on my heart? Or in my mouth? Actually, it's not a bad question to ask ourselves, is it? Are we being faith-driven or performance-driven? Do people know I'm a Christian? Have I ever told my family? my friends, my work colleagues? How can I admit to the life-saving faith of Jesus if they don't know this about me? Now, the answer to all of these questions about me, by the way, is a yes, so you can rest assured. But this is what we have to say. This is the very heart of evangelism, of spreading the good news. Jesus is the real deal. He was and is in history. That Jesus is Lord and he was raised from the dead. So that's the why. Jesus is the way, and that's the how, with heart and voice. Now Paul turns to deal with the who. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No ambiguity there. This message is for everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Jew and Gentile. And today it also means the rich and poor, the Marmite lovers and Marmite haters, the Remainers and Brexiteers, gay and straight, old and young, those from the West and those from the East, those we agree with and those we disagree with. It means the introverts and extroverts, those who are gender certain and those who identify as gender fluid, those from the North and those from the South, the sports lovers and sports haters, the famous and infamous, the Tottenham fans, although Jerry, I'm still not certain about the Arsenal fans. But I suppose even the Arsenal fans as well. This message is for everyone. But how can all these people know? How can they hear without someone preaching, talking to them? I'm afraid that means me. It also means you. And that means go. Go to your family, your friends, your workmates, your neighbours. Perhaps you might remember last year, I mentioned a statistic from the Talking Jesus report about those non-Christians who knew a practicing Christian. 97% of these people, the Christians they knew were either family, friend, acquaintance, workmate, or a neighbour. 97%. And that's why it means go to us. To summarise verses 14 and 15 from our reading, people will ask to be saved by Jesus if they believe he can save them. But this belief can only happen if they know about Jesus. But they can only know if someone spreads the message of Jesus. But the message can only be spread if someone goes. Now, I can feel some of you saying, no, not me. I used to say the same thing. I need to come up with some reasonable excuse not to go and spread the good news. But fear not. Verse 15 finishes by saying, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We are sent. And we are beautiful. Well, our feet are anyway. Maybe that's why so many brothers and sisters wear sandals any opportunity they get. They're showing off their beautiful feet, although that wouldn't explain the socks. Beautiful feet. Actually, Paul is quoting Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. But what if we are rejected? Don't fear rejection. It's not up to us to convert them. That is for God to do. We are just there to explain the good news, to say Jesus is Lord and he defeated the grave. And not all will accept the good news. But as I said, that is between them and God. true now as it was then, from our reading. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. And some you will come across will continue to be disobedient and obstinate. True now as it was then. Again from the reading. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. So that's faith. A logical, rational faith, but faith nonetheless. So let's conclude this talk with revisiting verses 9 and 11. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. This is the message we are asked to spread. So let us declare to all, with our mouths, Jesus is Lord and is raised from the dead. Brothers, sisters, neighbors, pray every day for the courage to speak out and that the Holy Spirit will provide you with the words. And go and invite Jew and Gentile up. Invite the rich and poor. Invite the Marmite lovers and Marmite haters. Invite Remainers and Brexiteers. Invite gay and straight. Invite old and young. Invite those from the West and those from the East. Invite those we agree with and those we disagree with. Invite introverts and extroverts. Invite those who are gender certain and those who identify as gender fluid. Invite those from the North and those from the South. Invite the sports lovers and sports haters. Invite the famous and the infamous. Invite the Spurs fans. And yes, Jerry, even invite the Arsenal fans. Or if it helps, let's put it simply, invite everyone. Invite them into knowing Jesus. So go out and speak the truth, my brothers, my sisters, my neighbors, my friends. Amen.